go through the budget, how those decisions, the previous decisions have been implemented and not just come out of that. So to move quickly to page two, where I've been explaining about the purpose of that particular report. This is where it stands for. But it will be important for me to sketch for you the picture of what has transpired, what influenced this year's budget review and recommendations. First, it stems from the SONA, State of the Nation address in February by the President, where the President was has indicated at the time that there is an economic downturn and there has to be some cautions that departments are taking in order to ensure that all government funds and resources are used appropriately and there's no wastage of any resources. But also he did highlight the issue of ensuring that there are good working relationships between departments and different spheres of government, such that where there are concurrent functions, where resources can be shared, that should be accelerated and should be implemented. Important issues that I need to highlight with regard that were highlighted during the State of the Nation address was to curb fruitless and wasteful expenditure by government departments. And the President went to the length of stipulating what are the typical activities that tend to allow department for fruitless and wasteful expenditure. One, he referred to the overseas trips, he referred to reducing the size of delegations when departments and officials are traveling. He referred to the instituting of restrictions on conferences, catering, entertainment, and social. He had referred to the cutting of budgets for budget hall dinners. You recall that for the first time this year, there was no cocktail party after the budget vote. So those are the mechanisms in which that were implemented. But safe to say that in that regard as well, the context in which this plan is being implemented, considered also the MTSF framework where sport plays a critical role in outcome 14B of social cohesion. And therefore, when we structure and look at all issues affecting sport, whether you talk of transformation, equitable share of allocation, you're referring to the funds to federations and so on, all consider the work, the importance of the work that the department has to execute, which is to ensure that sport is used as a tool to build the country, to build the nation, but also to foster that social cohesion. Safe to say as well that when you look at page three, that it has considered the shortage and the unfunded mandate of the NSRP, where the department indicated as well that indicated that they have only managed to achieve 23% of the targets of the NSRP, with a further 40% being partially achieved. So indicating clearly that that mandate still remains largely unfunded. But also the role that the country or South African, the Department of Sport plays in its international partners, where their leaders, their role players in some of the international bodies that deals with sport, particularly UNESCO, where for the first time this year South Africa was identified as one of the four countries that is going to be piloting the physical education. And hence you see that through the Department of Basic Education, there is that partnership with UNESCO, which has got a strong arm in ensuring that South Africa establishes a good base for piloting quality physical education. When you move further to page four, is that fine? We have made previously in 2014 for the financial year of 2014-2015 recommendations for for the BRRR. And in that, in those recommendations that were made in the previous year, when you look at this, we want to check what were the recommendations that were made, what was the response of the Minister of Finance in, with respect to the recommendations, but also what is the response of the Minister to this particular process, to the recommendations that were made. To start with the recommendations that were made, quite a number of them were made regarding advocacy for building of facilities, ensuring that community sport program receives attention, overseeing the alignment of the strategic plan of the department with its APP, ensuring that there's proper consultation with DBE and school sport, ensuring that there is quality sport equipment delivered to schools, hubs and clubs, and prioritizing transformation and monitoring it on a quarterly basis. So those are the recommendations that the committee had made the previous year. Now, what was the response then of the minister in that respect? Now, the minister first started by painting the picture of Minister of Finance, painting the picture of what is our current status economically with respect to all the departments, and indicating that in the last financial year moving into this one, there has been a resurgence of new demands when you consider the fees must fall movement, when you consider the unprecedented drought that we experienced from last year until earlier this year, and still continues in some parts of the country. When you consider as well the fact that the economy has not been growing at that time, it has dropped, though we have seen in the last two quarters a growth of the economy. So he paints that picture and also reminded the department to still consider cutting down on budget and so on. But one key issue that he reflected on is that there had been an additional allocation to the Department of Sports, which would be done in accordance with COCTA, the one of 300 million that has been allocated. And with that, there was also an additional 24 million that will be given to SRSA to ensure that they are able to capacitate the department to ensure that the Program 5, which is of sports infrastructure development, is properly capacitated and there is enough staff to implement the program. The 300 million, it is part of the 15% key component of the MIG. The difference here is that it's been made specifically available and allowed for sports and recreation South Africa to have a say in how it's being spent. It is still within or in the control of COCTA. What is just being allowed is that it's being done outside the formula to allow for SRSA to have a direct say in how it's being spent. So that is the response of the Minister of Finance. Now, what on other recommendations that were done, what did the Minister of Sports, how did he respond? Safe to say that there is no direct response which has been agitated from the Minister of Sport in that regard. However, through the different meetings and quarterly meetings and updates with the department, the committee has always been briefed. For instance, one of the recommendations was that the entities, including Boxing SA, had to ensure that there are consequences taken to those CEOs and CFOs that have been suspended. It's a matter of record now that the CEOs and CFOs were suspended and new ones have been appointed. Again, it was an issue relating to the alignment of strategic plans and the annual plan. The Auditor General did indicate now at the end of the financial year that there were no findings in that regard now, because the department had ensure that they have aligned. So there are no findings in relation to how Spark-led and the APP are aligned. So you begin to see that recommendations that are made when they come and then the department takes them into consideration, there are some steps that are being taken. Again, it was about the issue of transformation. That what is going to be happening to federations that are not compliant. You'd recall that earlier this year, the minister took action against certain four federations when he suspended their right to bid and campaign for hosting of international events. So, while there's no written response, but action is being taken in line with the recommendations that the committee is putting forward. So that is just the picture of what has happened in that regard. So what then, when you move further to page 7 of the report, looking at, this is what we have recommended, these are the responses that we received from both Minister of Finance, Minister of Sports and Recreation, coming into the budget now for this current financial year, 2016-2017. How is that budget then allocated in response to some of the issues that have been put forward? Safe to say that there's just over R1 billion allocated. That budget had to consider one, the NDP and its alignment to MTSF and the strategic plans or the NSRP of the department. But key to that was to ensure that, because this is an Olympic year, SAFCOC is able to deliver team effort for the Olympics. But also on issues of rural development or sports development, it's still clear that the majority share of the allocation for this financial year, 2016-2017, 64% of that budget, which 64% of that particular budget goes towards active nation. This is where you have programs like club development, school sport, mass participation, and recreation programs. So 64%, and if you look at that 64% alone, it is not for elite sport. It is for development sport. It is for increasing mass-based participation sport. And of note in that particular, in this financial year budget, is the allocation of $6 million for this financial year in Program 5 to capacitate the sports infrastructure program, with the intention to ensure that the $300 million that has been allocated does not go to a stage SRSA is able to prove itself that it can deliver on that particular budget. When it comes to entities for this financial year, Boxing SA being the first one, has been allocated about 11.1 million by SRSA. And then posts have been filled of the CFO and the CEO. And they have three main programs, which is boxing development, boxing promotion, and governance and administration. Of course, we are noting that one key element that has happened that has to be pushed as a program for boxing this year is this Back to Box, Boxing is Back program, which is a positive thing that has happened for boxing in the last financial year, and it has to be maintained in this financial year. The SAFE mandate as well still remains with about 21.8 million allocated this financial year when you move to page 8. And in that regard, there is also an additional 3 million that Lottery has funded, and they are able to raise other forms of revenue through, you know, the drug testing and all those kind of programs, particularly the drug testing, which is one of the program they use to some extent to generate funds, although it is not a fund-generating, revenue-generating entity. One of the biggest, their biggest problems is progress this year has been on education and deterrence. You'll recall that they had gone into a big drive to ensure that they prevent other than to react to situations by having a big program around education. So you'll see in their annual performance, there is a big drive on education and workshop programs with athletes and those that are stakeholders that are relevant for that. Now, I'm saying we have painted a picture of what we have said, what were the responses that we have received, what is the budget generally that has been put forward. We'll go into the details as we move there. That has been put forward by the department and where their priorities are, what is their main expenses and so on. But before we can go to look specifically at how has the department performed, the department and its entities performed in their on the annual report, as it were, we first need to locate the department and the environment in which they work in, and what are the issues that really make it possible or challenging for them to be able to achieve the objective. Now, there are a number of issues, and there's eight of them. The first of them is that the Department of Sports is largely dependent on partners to implement its program. In this instance, we say that even if you're to give the Department of Sports 10 billion rand, or you give it all the money that they need to implement the program, they will not be able to do so because they rely on so many partners, federations. They rely on provinces, municipalities, districts to implement, and each and every one of them has got they've got responsibilities and mandates that they have to care. So the issue of inter and intra governmental cooperation is very key for the department in order to achieve its objectives, and so. That sometimes, and they rely again on other departments like your COCTA for building of facilities, your basic education for school sports, your arts and culture for other programs, including the Department of Health for recreation and lifestyle related programs. Again, the other issue that seems to be playing itself within the department is the issue around equitable share. You'll know that the department has always been saying that without the grant that they give provinces, some provinces will not be able to do sports if they do not receive grants. Because when provincial treasuries are allocating resources, they only allocate resources to the provincial departments of sports for two things. One, for compensation of employees, and partly for administration. But nothing is being allocated for programs. So the program is largely funded by the dollar grant. And there are four main provinces that are being affected by such, which are dependent highly on the dollar grant. You'd have Gauteng, you'd have Free State, and you'd have Northern Cape that are likely dependent on the DORA grant. And again, the department has indicated that the formula as well that is being used, sometimes it becomes a disadvantage to other small provinces like the Northern Cape, for instance. Because if it was to be done as per the equitable share formula as it were, Northern Cape should get less than what they are receiving now. But and those are the issues that they are confronted with. Linked with that is the issue of the grants. While provinces are highly reliant on the grants, it is also disheartening to know that if should this grant be taken away, quite a number of them will not be functional. In fact, they even pay some of the staff out of the grant, because the grant does make such an allocation that 6% of the allocation can be used for payment of, or employment of the people. So if the grant fund itself is reduced, you can imagine the burden that those provinces would have in as far as employment of the people is concerned. The third aspect that has been created in order to deal with some of the issues that I am confronted with is that the minister, because of this sort of, to ensure that there is cooperative governance, minister with the colleagues, his colleagues in provinces, has established a MINMEC platform, which is a platform that ensures that, one, the mandate of ensuring that NSRP is implemented as a policy is cascaded to provinces at a policy level. And the same goes with how funds should be allocated by provinces. At a political level, there is that platform that deals with issues of policy at MINMEC level. At a technical level, the DG, along with the head of departments of provincial departments, also has a forum through which they are able to, trust the technical aspects of those policies and ensure that they are aligned. And there's another level that has been established at the implementation level, which is the chief director's forum. So there are levels that have been created to ensure that there is a cascading of policy from national to provinces in such a way that everybody is online and they use the resources as per the directive, particularly when it comes to the dollar grant, because dollar grant treasury is very specific in how that grant should be used. And if provinces should step out of line, it becomes an issue of non-compliance and therefore can be punitive by the treasury, or can result in some other consequences that the treasury has within the PFMA. Of course, safe to say that the NSRP remains an unfunded mandate, and only 23% of goals have been achieved, and with others 40% partially achieved. Of course, one important issue here, which is the landscape that the department finds itself in, is that your sport environment, the sport itself, is underfunded. If we are to take the 1 billion rand that the department receives from National Treasury and equate it to how much the sector is worth, I think currently the sector is at 7.5 billion rand. So you'll understand that the government's contribution in the sector is just a portion of what the sector is worth. So the sector is worth 7.5 billion, government puts 1 billion rand in the sector. Notwithstanding the new emerging sector, which is an online sports, that one is the fastest growing market within the sports sector. So the online betting, the online competition of sports is the fastest growing as well. So when you look at it in totality, you realize that which we need, that which government is putting is far too little than the needs and the demands that exist. So, National Treasury had indicated also in their response yesterday, as I indicated, that sports department had proposed to generate extra revenue through the tax levy on sales of tickets. Now, what they had said is that they were still awaiting for a full proposal from the department to put through the Davis Commission of Tax and see how that is going to work out in ensuring that, to see if it's feasible and if it can be implemented within the immediate or medium-term view. So raising revenue, South African Sports and Recreation has two options. could be through the ticket sales levy, or through that 15 an additional one through the 15% MIG grant. Now those are the two main sources that SRSA can use to generate funds. And in that regard, notwithstanding what other donors from outside can put, National Lottery can put on the table, the budget from a billion rand could increase substantially to about 3 to 4 billion rand per annum should those measures be implemented and agreed upon. The other issue is obviously ensuring that there's proper regulation of hosting international events. When you move to page 9 at the bottom, and moving into page 10, that in the landscape that South African sport finds itself with, where we see that there are quite a number of challenges that SRSA has to address. We're talking about providing training and skills development for teachers, technical skills for teachers to coach and impart physical education, transforming sport across all levels, providing adequate sports facilities in municipalities, lobbying for the full control of the 15% key component of the MIG, completing the facility audit to understand what is the status of sports facilities in South Africa and how many schools, how can we best utilize that, and ensuring that federations are adequately supported. So there's a plethora of issues that before we could even start talking of funding, FRSA must first deal with before they could and try to, within the provided allocation, try to find a balance of ensuring that these are equitably and fairly distributed to the deserving to the deserving stakeholders. That's one on the external side of how what is out there for FRSA. Internally, we could talk of that, you know, over the past 3 years, SRSA has been undergoing what we call a restructuring process. New structure was adopted, which then had 201 posts. After the reestablishment of adoption of the new structure, 18 additional posts were created. And obviously, before the new structure, there was always a vacancy, a lot of posts were vacant. Now, safe to say that there is currently 17% vacancy rate in the department, which amounts to about 50 posts. And Treasury, I think, regulates the safe net of vacancies at about 5%. Now, when you have 17% vacancy rate, it means that you still have a high vacancy rate. Notwithstanding the moratorium, again, that National Treasury put this year on a feeding of vacancies, indicating that only critical posts should be filled. So you have a situation now that you are under pressure to fill vacancies, yet you are told that certain you can only fill just a few because of a moratorium that has been put forward. So, again, internally, that is just the situation that you have that to contend with. We can talk again of the entity of boxing and the number of challenges that they have experienced throughout. One is that at least they were able to appoint a new CEO and CFO this year, so surely the picture looks good towards ensuring that boxing is being driven out of the challenges that it's been facing. There can only be hope that will happen, and only when the committee monitors that particular progress will it be able to pick up where other challenges are. Again, that boxing is back program is a positive thing that has happened to boxing, and because we see it now every Friday. One of the serious things that have happened in both is that throughout the years you've had structures of professional, which is Boxing South Africa, that regulates the professional boxing. and Banabo operating in silos. And when, say for instance, Banabo now in the two years ago had indicated that they're intending to go professional. Now you understand that that also may create another problem. But what we are saying here is that it is important for the two structures to work together to ensure that boxing is developed through Sanabo, but also the another step further of ensuring that professional boxers are properly supported and properly regulated is being attended to. The other issue that boxing has been confronted with is the conflict amongst promoters, as we've seen in the recent case. So that itself also needs a serious attention. Moving to page 12 in this instance, is that the landscape of the South African drug free sport that has been confronted with is that lately you would have seen the suspension of the Russian team as a result of the manipulation of the results for doping, that they were suspended one from participating in the Olympic team, although the Paralympic team was allowed to participate. The main Olympic team was not allowed to participate because of the scandals around the doping. And that came as a result of the investigation that IWF had been conducting over a period of time. Now, what this meant for our country is that there is now a strict focus on ensuring that there is compliance with the law, there is compliance to ensure that there is an ethical practice in sport, and there is a fair participation, and hence all athletes would be subjected to that. So what it meant for states then is that, you know, when you have a lab that is closed, and you have much more pressure now to ensure that you do not leave any athlete undeterred. Hence, you are faced with a situation that you had to send your results to Qatar over and above and ensure that you conduct as many tests as possible, though that was never achieved. But you look at it when you look at the results. And so this issue then created that particular challenge and problem for things. What I've done now is to paint you a picture of the environment in which the SRSA is working under and its entity. And obviously we painted about what has happened with the recommendations that were implemented before. The part that I want to get to now is on the annual performance, the annual report for the 2015-2016 financial year, to see how has SRSA and its entity performed in as far as targets are concerned. Now, in the last financial year, 2015-2016, SRSA was able to spend 979.9 million. And this indicated a 99.9% of expenditure. It's all good that the appropriated money was spent at least up to 99.9%. And with that 99.9%, 79.7% of the targets were achieved overall. So now we can get into the specifics. Which one understand, which one was, did not understand, what could be the problem, why was there a reason for understanding? I could also go further to say that of the allocated amount of 979, the budget allocated for Winning Nations program had reduced from 83 million that was spent the previous financial year to 57 million in this financial year. And 98% of that was allocated in that particular program was spent. Of course, the large expenditure still remains Active Nation program, which consumed 66% of the expenditure on the that particular year, and 15% was for the sports support program. Now, if I'm to move further in the economic classification, you realize that of the 979.9 million that was spent, 718 of it, which is 73% of the expenditure, was on transfers and subsidies, meaning this is just the money that the department had on it, the money that they had to give to provinces, to federations, to entities. So they were left with about 265 million to implement programs. And the other money was for 82 million, was about for goods and services. So it means the larger part of the budget of the department is not used in programs, but it's transferred to provinces as a conditional grant, to federations, entities like Love Life, Sports Trust, Boxing SA, and things. So there is little money left within the department. Now the question that we have to therefore ask ourselves is, given all this money that has been spent, 99% has been spent, but only 79% of the targets was achieved. One, there are two scenarios that you could see. Either there was no alignment of the targets that were set to achieve this, but to spend this money, or it simply means that there is less funding and more work to be done. Because the fact that you are able to spend money, all of it, but they are unable to reach certain targets, means funding that was allocated could have been less to allow you to achieve that. Those are two scenarios. Either there's less money or there was no clear targets that were set. That can be probed further. Now, when you look at the public entities as well, you look at boxing, that was allocated 10.4 million and say that we allocated 19.8 million. All of them managed to spend all this money. Of course, with Faith having to spend most of his budget on drug testing and doping control, and still not having achieved his goals. And boxing, most of his funding went into on governance and on administration. There was little funding that was cascaded down into programs. So there was an additional money that was provided. So this money that you see here is not a total reflection. You see when you look at specific programs now as to how much did boxing actually have during the year and how much did Faith actually have during the year. Now when you look into specific programs now for the performance of 2015-2016, initial performance of the department in the annual report. You look at the first program. While the allocation there or the total expenditure was 99.9% of the allocated budget, there were reductions or there was savings that were done through the less spending on office accommodation and in fact this is a major one where the department this financial year was able to spend less than they did in the previous financial year. Of course, you'll go into the detail and understand that the decline in expenditure of the department can be attributed to reduced spending on operation of leases, which is accommodation, on entertainment, they spend less there, they spend less on property payments and on legal services, including on external auditing. So there were savings that the department was able to do, but also this is in line with the Treasury's request that all departments should ensure that they cut costs and the use of available resources. The other important thing is that in this particular program, the department was only able to achieve 75% of its target, and two targets were not achieved, namely the payment of suppliers within 30 days the treasury, auditor general also raised this issue that the department is not able to pay its suppliers within 30 days, so the non-compliance pay. The second one is on department being able to achieve its ATP target. Of course, the fact that you are not able to achieve the other one, it means this also would reflect a non-compliance. So those two targets were not compliant. So out of 8 targets, they were able to achieve 6 of the targets. Now, in fact, they've even said that this financial year they've had to remove this target because it serves no purpose. Because if you are able to account for all the targets, this target you just an additional thing that you don't necessarily need. However, it is a serious matter of concern when you think of the SMEs that are reliant on payment within 30 days, that the department has to ensure that they tighten that particular aspect. The second program of Active Nations, this is where the most budget is allocated. You have about 3 programs there. So I'll try to move quickly through this thing. I just want to go through the annual report. The other ones is include the budget. I'll try to be very brief there. Is that in the Active Nation program, one of the major expenses is on transfers to provinces, which takes about 87% of the budget of that particular issue, or of that particular program. And there are about 3 programs, the community sport, recreation, school sport. Okay, 4, including club development. And so the budget that has been spent in that, you 87% of it was transferred to provinces. And the department was only able to achieve 60% after spending 98% of its budget. It was only able to achieve 60% of the target in this particular program. And of course there are reasons for that. Part of the reasons is that they are saying provinces to whom they are led upon are not able to provide the evidence that will support the claimed achievement. And the non-achievement will include the reduced number of participants in school sport and the reduced beneficiaries of equipment by clubs, schools, and so on. On the Winning Nation program, the department was able to achieve 6 out of 7 targets, so which shows that it was 86% of the targets were achieved. And in this program, again, there was a serious reduction of the budget by 32%. In the previous year, it was 83 million. In this financial year, they only had 56 million. So they had to work with the little budget that was there. Of course, in the updated BSSS, in this particular program, we highlighted the note that National Treasury made regarding that SRSA allocates or transfers funds to sports trust, and those funds are meant for allocation to the federation. We made that note in that particular program right there in the updated BSSS. Your sports support program, 99% of the budget was spent, and as in this program, 100% of the targets were achieved. So there was never a challenge in this particular program. The same goes with the last program of infrastructure support. Of the 100% budget that was allocated, all of it was spent, and all the targets that were set, they were achieved. When you look at boxing, moving further, on page 17, is that I said boxing was allocated 10.5 1 million at the beginning of the financial year. But there was an additional five million that was given again by Boxing, so by SRSA. So it had a grant of about 15.1 million from SRSA. They were able also to raise extra 5 million from national lotteries, and they were able to raise additional 2.5 million from sanctioning fees and 586,000 from license fees. So in total, they had a revenue of about 23.5 million in that particular year. However, 15.5 million was spent on one program, on administration. So this was an increased spending when compared to the 9.3 that was spent the previous financial year. Of course, the money was spent, and this program itself consists of the following. It's the board, it's the office of the CEO, and corporate services and stakeholders, including stakeholder mobilization and lobbying. And this particular program had 10 targets, and it only achieved 4 of those targets. This is boxing. And we must remember that the better part of that financial year, SRSA has seconded 5 office officials to assist boxing in order to put it into shape. So the CFO, the new CFO and CEO were appointed in the latter part of the financial year. Moving on to page 18, very important to note are the issues that the Auditor General has raised. And those are the critical issues, because an entity like Boxing, which is small, should be able to, you know, address these issues without any problem. One is on the issues of awarding contracts to suppliers who do not submit tax. It's on procurement of goods and services without following procedure. It's on contracts and quotations which are awarded to bidders who do not submit declarations. And the entity did not take effective steps to collect all the money due to it. You know, this aspect relates to the sanctioning fee that they talked about. The other thing is that it's the financial health of the entity. The entity only collects its debtors within 341 days and pays its creditors in 121 days, when the stipulation is within 30 days. So that in itself doesn't put it in a proper financial state. There were irregularities that were also identified by the Auditor General. What we are saying, what the Auditor General says, there must be action plans to address this matter. What the department and the committee ought to do is to ensure that they resolve and they follow up on ensuring that these cases do not repeat themselves in the following year. Moving to page 19 at the bottom, for faith, as well, faith was able to generate 32.3 million. Remember, they were allocated 19 million by SRSA, 19.8 by SRSA. They received 7.5 million from lottery and were able to generate income from doping control sales of about 2.4 million. So in total, they were able to generate enough money to have a revenue of 30.3 million. Of course, the majority of the budget in this instance is that the cost of testing had increased as a result of sending the test to Qatar for testing. At the same time, education program also had expanded. There was more demand for that particular education program. So those are the two major cost drivers for FAIN, let alone on marketing and so on. These two a huge chunk of funds. There were 14 targets set for the year, and only 11 of those were achieved. 3 were not achieved. So there's about 78.5% of achievement despite the entire budget being spent. When you move to page 20, also we highlight the AG's findings. AG's findings relate to awarding of contractors who do not submit tax, contracts and quotations awarded to bidders who do not submit the BEEE certificate. and they relate largely on FCM compliance with the ACM policies. There are other irregularities of funds that were not spent. There's about 6.5 million that was found to be irregular spending. However, after investigation, it was only found that of that 6.5, 1.9 million has been condoned, so it can be accounted for. So it remains to be seen as to what is to be done about the 4.5 million that is here, that was spent irregularly, and what actions are to be taken to account for that particular money and to hold accountable those that are responsible for it. So that is the picture then of how the entities have spent in the previous financial year. What I wanted to move on to, Chair, and without further ado, because we have done, we were able to discuss the allocation of the budget for the 2016-2017 and have even adopted the recommendations thereof for the budget vote in April this year. So we have looked at the picture of what we had done in the digital lab, the responses that we have received from many, both ministers. We looked at the scenario of where sports and recreation find itself and what does it have to contend with in order to implement this program. But also you see that in the current, in the previous financial year, how did they perform through that particular environment? And from then on, we wanted to enter into how are they now budgeting and what is the allocation based on the scenario that we've painted. What is the performance? What is the performance expected of them in the financial year? I want to keep that particular part because I think we dealt with it at length in the previous when we dealt with the budget vote, because it's the same kind of information. And zoom straight into page 30. On the concluding comments on financial and service delivery performance. This part simply says, it summarizes then the information that we have gathered from that time to say, what then are we making of this particular information? What is the view of the conclusion of the committee based on the information that they've received so far? It might not speak to the details of each and every member's wishes, but at a certain level, it speaks to the most critical issues that are being raised. The first is on the financial performance of the entities and the department. While we see that the department's financial position is consistent, where the Auditor General was able to say that there's clean audit for the past three financial years of the department, it shows that the department is performing well, using its resources effectively and efficiently in that regard. However, a concern, okay, another notable improvement for the previous financial year would be for Boxing, where they got an unqualified audit opinion with findings. The same goes for SAIDS, which has been steady, unqualified audit opinions with findings. And for Boxing, an improvement from the qualified opinion of the previous financial year to the particular one. It's an improvement, so one can only hope that it will improve. Again, there's a concern, or that broadly that is being observed, that you know, the economic climate has been difficult to a point that National Treasury has reduced the budget allocation for. And even under constrained environment in which folks find themselves with where they have limited resources, those camps are not really improving, and therefore a call for a speedy proposal for new or alternative ways of generating revenue. Because in itself, it leads the NSRP to be an unfunded mandate. Though adopted by Cabinet and Parliament as policy directive for corporate administration, it is not adequately funded to finish its responsibilities. And so that is the observation, that one of the conclusions that we can pick up in as far as this process is concerned. The other one, of course, that deals with two issues. It's the compliance of federation with the requirements of SRSA so that they are able to be allocated funding, but also to ensure that federations themselves improve on their good governance, because with reduced budgets by the central government, your alternative ways of raising funds as a federation is through sponsorship, and when governance is in tatters, it's not able to attract fresh revenue from sponsors. So that insistence on compliance and on good governance by federations remains a key issue that should be addressed and should be attended to. Again, another issue of importance that can be concluded upon is that for SRSA to implement this program with these facilities, the facilities are the responsibilities of the responsibilities currently, which are the competencies, fall under the competencies of COMCA. That issue of ensuring that facilities are built still becomes very key, and the welcome allocation of 300 million is a step in the right direction to ensuring that there are facilities that are being built. So that's just that point that we're making there on page 31. And lastly there on page 31 is on school sport, which remains a priority program of SRSA. Of course, we indicated yesterday that there are about 24,000 schools. The MTSF has indicated that SRSA must ensure that it covers about 6,400 schools. SRSA came this earlier this year to say, hey, 6,000 schools are impossible to achieve. We have had to revise this number of schools to 3,000. But even that 3,000 is still difficult to achieve when you consider that their performance annually is only on about 700 schools. So it still remains a large gap to be attained. So we make that submission that the two departments, DBE and SRSA, need to speedily review that MOU and strengthen collaboration and cooperation on this particular issue of school sports. And obviously, the department, the portfolio committee, would need to pursue this matter further with the entities. So those are the four large, broad areas that we are able to conclude with, Chair. That is on the financial and service delivery performance. But when we assess now deeply the performance of the entities and departments, how they have been able to spend money, achievement, spending of all the money and achieving 79%, spending of all the money and achieving 78%, you still see that there is still a large gap that still has to be covered. Now, moving to point 7 on page 32, on the technical issues. The observations are made on four levels. It's on technical issues, it's on governance and operational issues, it's on service delivery performance, and it's on financial performance. Now, when you start on technical issues, first we start with the issue of the facility count. The facility count, the difficulty that has been brought about that particular issue is that not only is it about the counting, but it's ensuring that you are setting up an IT system that is able to give you a clear view and picture of what is the status of the facility. And in this regard, you talk of imaging, you talk of ensuring that there are proper coordinates of a particular facility with a particular location. There is a proper database that is being established. And that is a challenge that the department is saying it will take them 7 years to achieve that particular audit, and it remains an issue that the committee will consider and will continue to monitor. The second aspect that is being raised here, and which is raised by the Auditor General, is the issue about compliance with by provinces. While the law advocates for good for cooperative governance, the issue of compliance, that is with the provincial department, including other sector departments, remains a burden of the department. Why it is not a burden for those other departments to ensure that they have not their performance targets, it might not be the case. But the performance around delivery of sport in conjunction with others requires a high level of compliance and cooperation by the role players in that regard. And it remains a tricky issue because if you hear the department saying they are not able to reach a target because they were not able to verify information given by provinces, you therefore see that the responsibility, while it is there to ensure money is spent for the purposes it was meant for, but they also have a burden to ensure that they monitor where that money was allocated. If there is no evidence, they cannot account for that particular issue. It remains a technical issue that needs to be resolved. On governance and operation issues, we highlight the issue that the department has been indicating that there is a challenge around the IT, and the AG has also recommended that there has to be a proper IT plan within the department in order to ensure that they are able to effectively deliver on their mandate. While they mention that this competency, they are not able to procure or consider bidding for any other IT company. There's a government entity that is charged with the responsibility of setting IT systems within all provincial, all government departments, which is CETA. It still remains their responsibility to ensure that there is a speedy resolution of the particular issue. The other issue is on payment. You know, non-compliance with payment of suppliers within 30 days remains a government issue and remains an issue that has to be attended to because it borders along compliance with the PSMA. So if PSMA says pay your suppliers within 30 days and you're not able to do so, it means you are not able to comply with that particular piece of legislation. The other issue here is about boxing SA and say compliance with the supply chain management issues, and this again borders along ensuring that there are proper systems and internal controls in place within those entities. When it comes to the service delivery performance information, I think proper scrutiny has to be put on alignment between financial performance and service delivery performance, and interrogate further that particular issue to ensure that amounts allocated do match the outcome. Because when you put 100% of your resources and are able to achieve less, then questions come, what has happened to the rest of the money if you do not achieve all your targets, yet you're able to spend all the money? So that remains an issue that has been observed and it was interrogated or could be interrogated further. And the committee must also ensure that during its quarterly review to the department, it attends specifically to this issue to avoid wastage of resources. Because this year's performance was it reduced from the 91% that was achieved in the previous financial year to 79% this particular financial year. So, yet in both occasions, 99% of the funds were spent. The slow pace of transformation, of course, remains a concern of the committee and the transformation scorecard. So, of course, the committee has already said the targets that have been set are unacceptable. The targets that have been set, though they are low and the federations have agreed to, there has to be a much more emphasis on bilateral relations to ensure that they're able to meet those particular targets. So obviously, seeing the results of this year, there should be a much higher expectation the following year. Of course, funding of federations is also of concern, because where the most lucrative federations get more funding and smaller federations get less funding. SRSA needs to bring up the model that will ensure that big federations that are able to generate more funds get small allocations and smaller ones are adequately assisted to ensure that there is congruence and proper support. The implementation of the MOU between SRSA and DBE remains likely a concern of the committee, and of course SRSA has indicated the challenges that they are facing in that regard. So pursuance of this particular issue and the review of the model of this MOU should be speedily engaged into, so that there's clarity about what is expected, and further the allocation of resources to ensure that the mandate given is properly financed to ensure that it's been achieved. Building of facilities, again, on page 24, the last issue. While the committee has welcomed the $300 million allocation that will be sitting with COFTA, it remains to be seen if the department as well would be able to deliver in that particular mandate. On the financial performance, of course, the Auditor General gave an opinion, unqualified, a clean audit, and two qualified, unqualified audit opinions for both entities. On the financial performance, Chair, we also emphasize the need to ensure that there's alignment of the targets versus financial performance, because that is juncture brings a huge difference, especially when you see that you achieved more like the previous year with less money, and this year you had more money but you were able to achieve even lesser than you did the previous year. So of course there are a number of reasons that one could that there could be. One could be, you know, the additional championship put a burden in the coffers of the department to achieve its target, and therefore the non-delivery of equipment as well also would have a burden. One issue that we have added here, because it was brought about, is on the financial performance and the request for new funding is a proposal by SAFCOM. SAFCOM did indicate when they were here last week that they are custodian of high performance, and for a number of years they've been restricted, and we've heard that also, they've been restricted from doing that which they are able, that the NSRT commands them to do, because there is no funding. If SAFCOM is in charge of the Winning Nations program, together with SRSA to start with, SAFCOM is mandated to ensure that there's talent development, there's athlete and coach support program, there's domestic competition at elite and performance level, there's international competition, and there's a recognition system where you are honoring and acknowledging the high performance. And that system itself not being adequately funded. And when it comes to enabling environment, they have to ensure that there are clubs, sports councils or confederations that are established. There's an athlete commission, because that commission is very key to ensuring that all the work and preparatory work of the federation is done in a centralized way. That's why you have federations that have a technical director. Those technical directors of federations should form part of the athlete commission, where a national plan of the coaching system and training system of the country can best be placed. Currently sitting in pockets of federations and so on, so you don't have a proper model of development. So the absence of the Arctic Commission, the Culture Commission, and because there's lack of funding in that regard, they have also not made it easier for them. Technical Officials Commission, the academic system that is currently struggling, we've seen how the different provinces have implemented the academic system. You have provinces like Limpopo that have 34 academies, and then you have others that have academy, provincial academy, and one per district. So that juncture of many academies and not adequately funded academies also brings this particular problem. Transversal issues, their role there is to look at the code of conduct of federation, alignment to geopolitical boundaries, and to ensure that there is a delineation between professional and amateur sport. You take boxing for instance. There is no clear delineation of amateur and professional. An athlete goes to bout in an amateur level, four fights, sees that there's no progress in this sport, turns professional. And with no adequate preparation, it doesn't offer them an opportunity to even excel in that particular sport at a professional level, and hence that particular issue. So all we are saying here is that there is a need to fund what the NSRP so that organizations like SASCOC are able to execute their mandate without any limitations whatsoever. And of course, we highlight challenges of boxing, of understaffing, and the risks that they were involved in as far as managing finances and internal control is concerned, and the challenges of faith when it comes to testing. I want to get to Ted. Yeah, I'm going to continue in the next 5 minutes. If you can just bear with me. You see, all these issues that you have highlighted here, Chair, when it comes to what are the observations and the new proposals and so on, we have also tried to ensure that we put in place issues that are to be followed up in this regard. When you look at page 37, what is it that we are going to have to follow up on to ensure that we keep track of issues that we are making proposals on before we come to call recommendations? Progress report on facility audit. Action plans to address findings of the Auditor General in relation to space and boxing. Quarterly reports of not only of SRSA but including space and boxing, because these issues, if you wait for them until the end of the day, of the year, you are not able to track where there is a lag. Transformation scorecard report to see at the rate, to look at the rate of transformation and if they're compliant. Of course, the new model of generating funds, the proposal to generate fresh revenue into sport. So SRSA here has to assist with that presentation. Monitor progress on the implementation of the 300 million MIG grant. Progress to recover irregular and fruitless expenditure from those responsible within the entities. Because Treasury did make a submission that the portfolio committee must ensure that action plans are being implemented. And part of the action plans is to ensure that these entities are able to recover the fruitless and irregular expenditure that are incurred. So, to ensure that we follow up on that. Progress report on the EPG report regarding performance of federations on the transformation scorecard. Progress regarding amendment of bills. Proposals for the signing of the MOU with DBP and the State Health up to date. Progress report of federations that have representation in School Sport Coordination Committee. Proposals to review the school sport system, including National School Sport Championship. Another one is on progress regarding the sports tax issue. I've included in the revised thing, BRRR report. So what then do we recommend, what does the committee recommend to the minister? Perhaps I will just stop here and allow members to peruse the recommendations, and therefore we'll take from there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On page 37. Page 37 and then page 38. Can I, in line with the resolutions of committee, that we took a deliberate stance to the rural bias? Committee members will recall that you said you're going to be a rural buyer. On the summary of the reporting request, can we add that there should be some timeline in terms of the information on what is happening in the deep rural areas in relation to school sport activities? Or may as well include that in the recommendation. But apart from championship games, there can at least be some ongoing sports leagues in rural areas. Then, the second point is the issue of the lottery. I do not know how to package it, but there's a lot of money that is at stake, which I think it can be a serious contribution towards what you want to do. I would like to see it as part of the summary or at least the recommendation of the committee. Thank you very much.
Let's talk on the presentation. The formulation. Especially the recommendation, but let's talk on the presentation of life. May I take the
No, sir. When we have made comments when they were presenting, I hope you have captured some of the comments. But my only concern that I want to make, that it must be captured, is around the votes. We must distinguish them. So, because you see, if we don't have a direct vote for seats, and so that it is clear why we allocate and why somehow we accept that they are a aim of the department, so that it is different to other entities that we find that they've got direct votes. So I thought that they must be shown quite clearly. The second is that your initial page, if we can ensure that these people are, because I saw the initial page, it is only B and two arts, not the B triple R. Yeah. And then my last comment really is around the entities. I mean, I think we should state that, I know we are stating it, but we should go into it to put some flesh on the PSA and say in terms of their lack of progress, their progress, performance on their progress. You explained, you decided it because you were explaining one thing and then some of the things are kept at in another page where you are dealing with the entity.
Honorable Manana, that's your term.
Thanks, Chair. On page 8, paragraph number 2, I think we need to put an addition of A. It mustn't be a national treasure, it's just a addition of national treasure than national treasure. Yeah. It's just a connection of page 8. Yeah. Yeah. So, I was just checking at this min-max between the National Sports and Recreation and the provincial department, but the minister, I think he. If there must be another way, maybe, of instructing the department, because if the department is taking a decision, the executive is taking a decision that they need to divert the 15% to something else, there must be an instruction from the minister to the provincial executive that the 15% must be utilized to sports infrastructure. And secondly, the national treasurer, I think, need to penalize or sanction the municipality if they are unable to account for that 15%. And we also maybe have to ask the national treasurer. We know that his sports is underfunded. So maybe if we can keep on requesting him to, since we know that his sports is uniting the country, we will always sing that song. That why can't he just maybe add an extra budget for sports? So that as we know that boxing is getting a little from the department, they can just put some extra budget for boxing. And I can see on your presentation, as comrade Deboko, that South Africa has been identified as one of four countries that should pilot quality physical education, which has developed by UNESCO. So why can't the department, because these are challenges in our country, but now we are identified as four of those countries, and now as physical education is, we are still experiencing the challenges with the department. The department really must implement, we must just emphasize each and every year that must implement that MOU that was signed in 2011. We need to emphasize that each and every year for the learners to live that healthy lifestyle. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to pick up on two issues, and one Mpumzi referred to it in passing, but there are two streams that either contribute or get lots of money related to sports issues. One is lottery through money that goes to federations in addition to what lottery provides to SAFCOC. And there's we don't get a clear sense of accountability with the individual federations about how they spend those monies. Because with SAFCOC, what happens is it's usually for elite performance in preparation to the Olympics and Paralympics. And I think it's high time that we move towards probing and holding those federations accountable, or either lottery, for us to have a sense of what lottery has given each of the federations over a particular period, and let's measure what are the outcomes of those, because that is what often causes, you know, the issue of perceived independence of federations when SAFCO wants to intervene and hold them account. But the second issue, which is even more troublesome, is 75% of the department's budget is spent on transfers and subsidies to provincial governments and federations. And I think we can engage the department as much as possible as we can. If we don't get to the provinces and tackle the root cause of the problem there, then we're going to be barking at the wrong tree for so long, because the department feels helpless. When provinces don't comply in terms of providing documentation, it affects them, but ultimately they are not the wrongdoers. The wrongdoers are the provincial government, and that also trickles into some of the metros and the local governments that are not spending money dedicated for sport on sport. Because if we were to really look at what is allocated for sport and what is not used, the issue is not necessarily that South Africa does not have money for sport. It's simply that the little that is allocated for sports, people use it for other things because they don't consider sport to be very important. So I think we need to elevate our interventions and deal with these provinces, either whether it's structured, because I understand limitations of oversight and stuff, but provinces also have to come here, and we need to, you know, measure what they got vis-a-vis what they are doing so that we can intervene in time. So that when we make recommendations, we can then confidently say to the department that, you know, this province does not justify, you know, getting such a large chunk, and we can engage Treasury about what are penalties in there, because what we don't want is to punish athletes at the end of the day, but we can't have a situation where in every year budget provisions are made, but sport is not benefiting because, you know, provincial governments view themselves as, I'll just leave it there, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Is there any hand?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, I want to thank you the officials for taking us through. And the other only thing that I saw, Chairperson, is that on page 18, on page 18, the last bullet, it doesn't actually, if somebody does know what was being said here, when it said the entity did not take effective and appropriate steps to collect all money due to it. I couldn't understand if you say due to it. Because if I'm just somebody who don't know about the report. And the other one, chairperson, is that one. On the recommendation, there was nothing that talked to understanding and fruitless expenditure.
We are given chance to add on the recommendation and will be interact with the recommendation of the member. As this is a framework, if we have any point to add, that's the time that I'm giving honorable member to do that. You want that it must be raised?
I think Chairperson needs that one of under expenditure, because if you can check on page, I think.
No, but we did catch what you said. Unless the book and the honorable member was noted what you're saying, the honorable toilet. Okay, we're still checking other things off. Thank you. We'll take it on the second round that the info still trying to check something. Honorable Ranko?
When did you were presenting that the content that right? You referred to the sponsor. And I know that we did say we should flag it so that we ensure that the department rectifies that, given that we appreciate the good work that the sports fund is doing in terms of intervention throughout the country, particularly in the rural area. So I think we should have something to that extent as well, in terms of looking forward.
Thank you, honorable member, I'm expecting that this 2 weeks was been discussing something related to what today we are having. That's why I've heard the young ones and we're having our DG today. Because you were too emphatic like our DG, and some of the things you know that a week ago you presented, and also the department. I'm suspecting we've done justice for this coming debate, if it's debate, was done justice. I must say that starting from the past week, everything is related on what we are discussing today. And the reality is that we are all seeing that where gaps are, and when the department was here with for Free South African State and the AG, everything that they put here, we do appreciate, because it was a true reflection of what we've been doing. And now maybe we need to do what all other members are saying to add in the reservation and recommendation. Some of us really, as honorable members, was being think you can in this committee looking and have no solutions of how can we assist the department on the culprits of the province. And we want to propose that we must invite provinces to come and present an account. So I'm suspecting they are not only going to account only to the NCOP, while the NCOP every now and then they do have interaction with them. We are also a committee that we are looking that every now and then we'll be getting about maybe 3 provinces we are using MIG, but with the 75% chunk of transfers to improving, it's not only about the MIG that we are looking at. We are looking at their own budget for exporting their provinces, which they are not doing. Maybe the steps that we must take must really recommend, and in our recommendation we must, because we don't have enough funds, because of some of the funds are going to themselves or going to the provinces frequently as we want to. So we are strongly seeing that if we are not doing our own oversight as a committee that we are having a mandate to do that, I'm seconding and supporting that we will be recommending that let's call provinces, even if on one Tuesday we call 3 of them and another week until we get what we want. I'm not sure whether you want to correct what I'm saying. Firstly, we must require through the office the information. But I'm suspecting that the only thing that will assist us to interact with them, not only with their presentation, they can give us a presentation through the office and to keep us ready, but they must come and tell us about the money that are getting from the national, and then also with an interest being a national sport, that what are they doing? Do they budget for their provinces accordingly? So I'm suspecting that with those words we've done a lot of work, and I do appreciate members that they are taking serious this work of caution, collaborating. We need to check. That's why I was saying that once I know that Section 76, the NCOP, they need to call them to come here. So I'm seeing what this veteran of the rules of parliament. She is very good on that issue. We cannot not be ashamed to say that. Say something, Sune.
It's definitely prudent to consider the NCOP's role also in provinces. I can only say that it's been in the past very successful to have more of a discussion, a collegial encounters, and I would say the workshop, but it's just because it just strengthens awareness, it strengthens accountability of all stakeholders, officials including the political role players, and including the NCOP, who would then also work with this committee so that one doesn't encroach on the NCOP's very crucial function in the provinces.
When I was presenting myself, I was saying that I know that there is the NCOP, and which is a National Council of Provinces. But as was sitting here, were also a committee, a national committee of sport, that when we're getting reports like this, we need to act. But we'll be needing an advice, but I'm suspect that we are correct that we need to act. We cannot fold the arms whilst there is this thing. So we'll be checking the way that you must do, but finally want them to account it into our to our good self. Even if we can talk to the counterpart, the select committee, that is, let's have a joint. We must first sit within the committee and highlight, in order that if we want them to come in a sort of a workshop. But to me, this is not about the workshop. This is about accounting of the money that they are having. So I wanted to clarify, because even myself, I've served in the NCOP. Honorable Valerkomo, Honorable Manana, Honorable Malazze, Honorable Deputy Chairperson.
No, Chair, I agree with you that we have to look at how do we implement and explore, also become innovative. I mean, one gap that we had raised before was the need to interact from time to time with NCOP, particularly with regard to provinces. And then the one that is coming now is Honorable Malati. We can also explore how do we do that. But my concern is that we've got our counterparts at the provincial level who are supposed to be doing this type of work. So I thought, given that there is this interaction with counterparts at the provincial level, that we should also explore how we can ensure that at least we got the sense of what is their focus, whether they are just looking at quarterly. That's all. They don't ensure that they must have legacy. But I think we should explore the possibility of unblocking that as well. Maybe you are initiating with the chair, given that there is MINMEC, there is SCOM, that we should explore all of this.
I think, Chairperson, if I understood you very well, these were the recommendations which I'm supporting them. If things go well, that those people, if we can just rely on the provincial department, we always go for oversight. When we go for oversight, I've never seen any other committee for sports coming to us and say, now these officials, they have to account because we did oversight to you officials. And now, it's for the second time, because the national government is here, they're doing nothing. So not that I'm not supporting what Papa Strike is saying, but they're doing nothing. That is why I support your recommendation that needs to be recorded, to be noted by DEBSA, that the department must come and account. Because if there is something, because of the financial implication whatsoever, because we don't have enough money that each year we can just travel the whole 9 provinces. But don't we have, maybe the advisors can advise you or us that we have the right that the officials there or the whosoever who's supposed to come and account here
because we can't cover all the 9 provinces in each year.
Honorable Chair, without repeating what my other colleague said, I think the understanding is there that the respective provincial department needs to come and account to us. The issue is how do we procedurally do that? And I think it's a very minor administrative issue of how we plan that. Because, I mean, there is no obstacle to us to engaging provincial Department of Sports coming. The key thing is, how do we want to do that? Do we want to do that as part of an mission exercising process where we also talk to the select committee first, so that by the time the department comes here, we are fully armed, and that is also time constraining and all that. But within the very existing rules of entities and governments appearing here, you know, we can have that plan worked out as to which ones do we prioritize and how are we going to do that. Because ultimately, you know, I'm very concerned about the gap that is created by our counterparts at provincial legislatures, because we have had to come and fill in the gap of other people. And I think acting in good faith by relying on them to fill that gap, that will also be letting ourselves down, because as we have seen in local municipalities and in there, and it is common practice in other committees that respective provincial committees, you know, we just need to make sure that, you know, through data and through that letter is done in the way that is compliant on the systems, and then we do it. Otherwise, if we get extra cautious, we end up not doing anything, and that on its own will not be good form for us, because I don't think there's nothing in the rules that stops us from saying the Western Cape, for instance, must come and account on what it's doing with money for that, or Limpopo or KZN. Thank you, Chair.
No, very much. What is it?
Okay.
No, what I know is that whoever has received the money from the department must come and account. That is what we are looking for. Because we cannot tolerate a situation whereby now the department will just give money to whoever department, entity, then now we say those people cannot come and account. If there's any legislation now that prevents us from doing that, that is going to be checked thoroughly. Then now we're going to see which way now is going to be done, how to say. But these people who come and account, because they're going to be listed for purposes of the department, of which now who are the members of the committee for that department. Thank you very much. Even Mr. Denver, who must come and account.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, without delivering this point, and the point that Kune was trying to emphasize on, Chair, is that the committee in its mandate, both in terms of legislation and the constitution, is that it conducts oversight over the executive. And so it means that the appropriation that National Treasury does to the department is to the executive that is in charge of the portfolio or the Department of Sports and Recreation. Therefore, all monies dispersed, all monies that are given into sport, the highest authority that is accountable for that money, the political head, is the Minister of Sports and Recreation. Now, there are frameworks that have been established to say how that money should be spent. Whether it gives them to provinces, it gives them to individuals, gives them to entities, and so forth. And those people, at the end of the day, they don't account. He's still responsible. So what it effectively means that hence there was then the legislation on corporate governance. Because that in itself then says, simply says, all spheres of government are supposed to work together. It doesn't place an obligation on for one sphere of government to control the other. But it speaks of collaboration. So it means they become equal partners in this. You then say the spirit of that letter is that you ought to work in a manner that is complementary to one another and not have hold authority over one another. That is the first point I'm trying to make. The second point is that in that spirit of the letter, it then says you can. It then gives the committee or because we are hoping that if you are given money as a province, directly as a committee, you should not have a problem with us when we want to know how you have spent that money. That is the spirit. However, the limitation comes with the constitution as to who are you accountable to for that money. Then it becomes your provincial executive, where you can be held accountable for monies that are disbursed to you in that sphere of government. What we say then as a national department, as a national portfolio, is that the responsible person for the money that the 20 rand that was never accounted for, that is the 20 rand that Free State is not able to give or to tell us how they spend it, that we say, Minister of Sports, we want you to collect that 20 rand that Free State owe to see to it that 20 rand is effectively dispersed. That is the line of cooperation. And so this is where you then get a distinction between Section 75, which is the National Assembly, and Section 76, which is the NCOP. That in as far as this House is concerned, its mandate is with the executive. And they have to hold the executive accountable. The latter of the letter is that the cooperative governance gives everybody equal space and equal hearing. But procedurally, you follow that. That's why what Sune was saying was that in terms of holding them accountable, which is what the Constitution and the piece of legislation is saying, is that it will become difficult if you are to say they must come and account. Whereas if you are to have that collegial encounter, workshop, meeting kind of, then you do away with the prescript of the law. You are having the same process but not in the same, because you cannot. Maybe I should be very careful with cannot.
And we are interpreting what Usune was saying, referring us to the Constitution. And she said, instead you can call it something else like workshop. But as we are sitting here, we need that. But to our recommendation, we want to emphasize to the minister that, minister, we need information, and we give a very, very powerful mandate to himself to do the oversight to those people. But at the same time, as doing the oversight as a committee, we need what we just discussed in a way. But as we are speaking, let's emphasize in our recommendation that we are not happy about accountability to you, Minister, by the provinces. that as was sitting at this comment, we don't know why they are not doing ABC, and we are not having any specific report of each province. But at the same time, your good office, according to the constitution, when it must not encroach with the other whatever, what now we are proposing, even if it's not in the recommendation, we are proposing that we must meet with the NCOP, we must try to talk to our counterparts in the provinces, and let's try to have a workshop. But the problem again is that who's going to fund that workshop? That's the problem. We can fold arms because of the funds that we cannot have. I don't know whether we have a budget of doing such a big workshop of provinces. So I'm just worried. But the only thing that we must recommend and give you is that let's recommend in this thing that we must emphasize the accountability to the department, which as was sitting here as this committee, we don't have anything except that only three provinces who's budgeting for what we call for e-provinces, and what the department has done about that, about the provinces which are not budgeting for e-sport. But I'm aware that as this committee, we have a right to ask people to come in and account to us. That's the only thing that I know. But the prawns and whatever, I don't know how. But people who are getting money and are not satisfied with the department, I wanted that out of this meeting, convince us what is our role as a committee of sport and recreation if a minister has been having this problem of transferring funds. Why are we having a right to call entities to come in account? And the provinces, we know the constitution that the National Council of Provinces are responsible for all the provinces. But we are also a national government which we are taking out of our pocket to give money to those provinces. But it was sitting here every now and then, since we started this committee, we've been told that they are not doing anything about those transfers. And then I'm arguing, whilst I'm respecting your contribution, I'm arguing, can we fold arms, Pumzi, and then you will be followed with by Honorable Malaza, Honorable Stoff.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. South Africa is a unitary state. When we go for oversight, we don't use different lenses for a different particular sphere of government. I'm talking constitutional.
Yeah.
Section 25 of Intergovernmental Relations allows us to, in fact, that's the section that we use to go to municipalities when we do our oversight, our normal oversight. It's in that spirit which will give the highlights of the cooperative government. Otherwise, the legislatures, we won't be able to see and pick up the effectiveness or limitations of the PSMA laws, NSMA laws, if we are not exhausting that angle. So the solution, in fact, this is happening in another country. If you go to Canada, US, Burkina Faso, Ghana, Tanzania, Malawi, a joint portfolio committee meeting do happen. I'll take an example. If we do in budget vote here in Parliament, the HODs of all these provinces come they do honor and attend the budget board. And the question is why? Because they are affected by our budget. They've got an interest in our budget. You see them on the after the 26th of October. They will come in our budget board in all, because they are affected. But the angle is the division of revenue. What do you call it? Dora. Yes. That's another angle you can use, that's right. So I'm of the view that as a legislator, we can't impose firewalls on our work and say we can't take this and we can't. While we have instruments such as Section 25 of Intergovernmental Relations Act, which allows us to go and check and do oversight everywhere across in the country. At times when we do oversight, we do call our counterparts at the provincial level to accompany us. Now the question is, which clause are we using in that angle? So I see no barrier. We can call the HOD. We can call any vote. It's a pity that I don't have the parliamentary rule book in front of me. But the fact that they can come when we've got other votes, it means we can reciprocate that and go to them as well. Because they are very, they are serious stakeholders in what we're doing. One more last point. For this committee to make serious contributions and the loopholes of each and every act, at times using the Parliamentary Act itself, I think it's important that we exhaust all the legislative limitations we have. If there's a barrier that you can't do certain things, let's exhaust that. And then probably after 5 years, we know what are the limitations, so that whatever comes after the member, we know where to fix that before you conduct the oversight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean, he covered almost everything I was going to say. I appreciate the sensitivities around, you know, what are legislative boundaries about how we do. But I can't recall anywhere in the rules or constitutionally that says that we cannot do this on the basis that we haven't fulfilled step A and 2, which is joint gatherings with us. Our interest is what happens to resources that are allocated outside of the department that we conduct oversight. And we've already identified where the gap lies as part of our job, that it is beyond the immediate executive. It is through the other sphere of government. And to be honest, Chair, in the provinces that we have been, we have never had a full complement of the portfolio committees accompanying us. And if indeed they were doing their jobs, many of the issues we discovered there would have been fixed by them. So I think we are frustrating ourselves by identifying what we can correctly call, you know, obstacles that prevent us from doing that. I mean, it's cross-cutting, as he made the example of the HOD. It's even the agencies that come, because they know that from the department, in terms of executable share and transfers, there's portions that go directly to them. But unless we also elevate again to start dealing with where the root causes of the problems are, then we are not going to have much headway in terms of trying to revolutionize what we want to do, because our impact is we want to make sport more accessible, we want to be biased towards rural areas. And the only powerful tool we have, to be honest, is we don't have resources, we have accountability. That is what we can do, and we just need to do that. Thanks.
Just to question what I was just saying, I'm looking at the Constitution. Section 196, 4B and C, and friendship. It allows us to go to investigation with the committee and monitor and evaluate the administration and certain processes across that constitution. And I haven't spoken to the whole of the family.
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, Honorable Marat and the gentleman have actually covered me, because we always, the portfolio committee must follow, they must use their mandate to follow the national grant, because we always give the provinces, the municipalities, even the entities, the equitable share. So, as a portfolio committee, you are accounting. Actually, the national department are accounting to whatever it should be as a portfolio committee that you are following. I'm talking from the experience that we always call the municipalities from the Department of Human Settlements. We always call the entities. We always call the provincial government. If we are calling the provincial government, we are calling the provincial government via the national government, because we tell them that on that day we want these provinces and these municipalities, and we give them the issues that we want to debate on, or either if there is the shortcoming from those municipalities or the provinces. That's what we are always doing.
Honourable Member, I close by this note. We must put our recommendation as I've outlined. And then this question that you are talking about, we do want to do what we all want to do it. And we want to say to our officials, next week we'll be getting from them first, how are they going to implement what we want as a committee? Because if now we're debating something that is clear what we want, let's give them a task as these members of committee that want that either the street that is going through the NCOP or is going through the HOD, the MEC, or whoever of the sport that won't have a hearing with them. The way that they are going to do that, it will depend on themselves. We'll want them to account how far they've gone. I'm suspecting it's going to assist to lay fear to themselves, that some of them they saying that, why did not you advise the committee accordingly? What we want that we must see this department called Sport and Recreation, but specifically for sport, because we've seen a gap that a budget of sport, it transfers there about 75%. We do call for assistance as the federation, but now when it comes to the department, which when we're going to our own oversight, the relative committees, they are not with us, and the MEC, they are not with us. In some areas, only the HODs, in some, not at all. We cannot just fold arms, but we want to correct that accordingly. So if I can just close by saying that we'll be needing a response and a report back from you, because we'll be in for it if we force Tina that, Tina, we want them to come here. But they will say, why did you not advise committee? The committee is advised by the advisors, and when even the legal entities of the committee advising the correct way. Once all of us, we know, we try to caution each other, but we want this thing to happen. In those words, I've closed this discussion, and I'm suspecting you had a good. We'll ask the office to go and effect the recommendation that we will put in here, and let's come Tuesday in whatever we're having, that we must adopt the report according to that printing that we are going to do. The meeting is closed.
Good evening, everyone.